Welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marcia Hashmi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, 17-year-old Ahad Tamim Bey was finally released 8 months after being in prison in Israeli jails. A Palestinian teenage girl was charged with assault because she slapped an Israeli soldier after soldiers had just shot her cousin on family property. When do Palestinians have the right to resist occupation? When is the killing or detainment of a Palestinian child going to be condemned and the culprits held responsible in a court of law? Stay with us and we take a look at this situation on this debate.
At a military checkpoint at the entrance of her hometown, Nabi Saleh, Palestinian teen activist Ahad Tamimi was released from Israeli prison. She was freed after completing an 8-month sentence for slapping an Israeli soldier. Ahad, who is now known as a local hero and an internationally recognizable figure, broke down in tears as emotional crowds were waiting to welcome her. In a press conference, Ahad thanked all the Palestinians for standing by her cause and all the prisoners' cause and called for support for all prisoners.
I want to send a message of solidarity to the people of Gaza in their great march of return. I also want to stress that Al-Quds has always been and will remain the capital of Palestine. I have 3 messages to convey from my female prisoners in Israeli jails. They call for national unity resistance and demand that everyone stand with the rights of political prisoners and work for their release.
Ahad was released along with her mother Nariman, who served an 8-month sentence as well. However, Ahad's 21-year-old brother, Wad, still remains in jail. Nariman had a message for Palestinian families who have a loved one in Israeli jails.
It's a message to all the mothers and fathers. We should not fear for our children. Our children are from this land, from the salt of this land. Our children are the future. They are the future of our struggle, and we should always make sure that we support them in pursuing their freedom and their rights, because in Palestine, children are dying, even at home.
People here in Nabi Saleh village have embraced Ahad as a symbol of a new generation standing up against the brutality of the Israeli occupation.
Ahad Tamimi has turned into a national icon for all Palestinians. Her immediate call for resistance against Israeli occupation comes as her relatives say she's well aware of the challenges ahead regarding anti-occupation campaign she will further seek. Mona Kandil for Press TV, Nabi Saleh village, occupied West Bank.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program. Out of New York, Maxine Dover, journalist and political analyst, and out of London, Catherine Shakhdam, political analyst and communication director of Journalists Support Committee. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in New York. And Maxine, a 17-year-old girl slapped an Israeli soldier after soldiers had shot her 12-year-old cousin in the chest. And can you tell me what is exactly wrong with her defending her cousin on her own property?
The way you phrase your question would place her as some poor little innocent. She's no innocent. She slapped a soldier. In what country would slapping a soldier not engender a far more strong response, a physical response, than simply the arrest? In many countries, perhaps Iran as well, slapping a soldier would result in the slapper being either injured or killed.
This is occupied territory. Occupied territory, according to international law, those living under occupation have the right, actually, to defend themselves, Maxine. So where does the defense mechanism come in here?
Have it on film, you know. And the film was viral, so we know that the soldier did not physically touch her. She came to him and she slapped him.
But they have occupied. But the Israeli regime has occupied, of course, and the soldiers occupying their land, and of course, having shot her cousin. You may not think that that's violent, but I'm pretty sure that the parents think so, as the child was seriously hurt. Was seriously hurt. Let me get Catherine in on this discussion. Stay with me, Maxine. Catherine, your thoughts on all of this. I find it quite interesting that a 17-year-old girl, I think she was 16 at the time, is such a threat to the fully in full military gear of the Israeli soldier that Maxine says that, you know, she was actually, yes, violent and a threat. Your take on all of this?
My take is this. My take is that, you know, this young lady, 17-year-old child, she's still a child legally, had every right to defend herself. I mean, the right to resist is actually a natural right enshrined in international law. And Maxine's reaction, you know, and her claim that, you know, in any other country, you know, such action would warrant even a stiffer, you know, penalty, is actually fallacious. Because, you know, if in England, for example, if you were to smack or be aggressive towards a police officer, I think that a judge or a court of law would look at the context of the attack. And as you mentioned before, you know, her attack, her slapping of an officer came, or soldier rather, came after he shot her cousin, a 12-year-old child. So we need to understand here that we have, you know, a grown man, you know, armed up to his teeth, invading someone else's property, violently shooting a child, regardless, you know, with complete disregard to not just, you know, the right of that child, but actually humanity, because it is a crime against the law to attack and shoot a child who is by definition defenseless. And then she goes about to defend him and trying to protect the rest of her family, I imagine. You know, if anything, she should be given a medal, because this is the very definition of self-defense and resistance in her case, because as you mentioned before, she is under Israeli occupation, an occupation that has been systematic in its violence, systematic in its desire to dehumanize, you know, those it occupies, Palestinians, and trying to somehow, you know, describe those they occupy as being the enemy, and saying that everything is a natural threat against their authority.
Okay,
against
let me see what Maxine wants to say. Catherine, stay with me. Let me get Maxine back in on this. Maxine, go ahead.
Let's look at what this young woman's reaction has been after 8 months of consideration. She proposes to study, to become a lawyer, and to use the legal system to accomplish her goal. That's a methodology that everyone can approve. You use the system, you use the law, and when you are correct, the law will stand with you.
So let's look at that, Maxine. Let's look at that, because we know laws are relative. Maxine, stay with me. Laws are relative. There are many laws. If we go back actually to pre-World War II in Nazi Germany, many laws that we would say right now were fascist and against humanity. So isn't it relative depending on the law? And we're talking about an occupying force. We're not talking about this great democracy where everyone has such equal rights.
Well, we are talking about a democracy where the citizens of Israel have equal rights, no matter what their background is.
Really? That doesn't seem to be the case.
But they're the Palestinians. Palestinians, not so much.
Go ahead, Catherine. Catherine, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, because she's talking about Israel being a democracy, but that's not, first of all, it's not really the case. Second of all, we're talking about occupied territories here. I don't recall Israel actually, you know, holding itself under the same rules as it does Palestine. In Palestine, if you so much as look at the sky, it's considered a threat to Israel's existence. Everything that Israel has done has been well documented, you know, has been put in place to actually erode and shrink Palestinian rights, whether it's their right to freedom of expression, whether it's their right to actually impart information or receive information, whether it's the right to resist, whether it's the right to hold an opinion, whether it's the right to, you know, define their religion and practice their religion, whether it's the right to actually exist as Palestinians and claim to the identity. Israel has systematically engineered and architected a system that denies Palestinians their very humanity. So don't sit there and tell me that, you know, it's a good thing that she was arrested and thrown in jail, because now she suddenly had an epiphany and realized that she has to abide by the rules of the system to then, you know, become this greater person. The very reason why she wants to become a lawyer is because she's very determined to prevent that other girls like her, other children like her, you know, become, you know, victims of a system that is by definition fascist and based on sectarianism and on the genocide of an entire people just because, you know, Israel decided to claim this land. We have to remember that there are hundreds of children currently in jail in Palestine. You're talking about children here. In Israel,
well, sorry.
You're talking about
back
children.
In this.
You're talking about the fact that journalists are under... Are in prison
Catherine,
as well, just for voicing their opinions.
Catherine,
are you talking about democracy
Maxine,
now? Come on.
Maxine, when can an occupied people resist according to international law?
Well, let me go back a little bit further than that. When you speak about children who are in the business of protesting, of throwing stones, of acting against the legal authority, not only of Israel, but of the security forces of the Palestinian Authority, because throwing stones is certainly not one of the accepted mechanisms of action from the Palestinian Authority or any authority. When you talk about children who are being trained to hate and trained to act in terror, then you're talking about a system that's ruining the lives of its own children.
So, wait a second, Maxine. So the kids who are throwing stones are training in terror, and the Israeli troops who are shooting from rubber bullets to live bullets to lethal tear gas, how would you classify them? How would you classify these Israeli soldiers?
I would classify these Israeli soldiers as defenders of their borders. Uh-huh. If the
may I interject?
Within the law, there would be no need for this kind
of
defense.
Go ahead, Catherine. Go ahead.
If I may, please just interject one second. I recall a previous show in which Maxine actually defended the shooting by Israeli soldiers at children and handicapped people on the account that they were there. So I'm sorry, but this kind of narrative that she's holding, I'm very sorry to say, and I apologize if that offends her, is profoundly fascist and the definition of what Zionist actually stands for. I'm very sorry, but the second you try to rationalize the murder of children and allege that because, you know, they're resisting a violent occupation, then therefore they're guilty. I'm sorry, but I have to disagree with you.
Can you explain the death of a 31-year-old father at the hands of a 17-year-old so-called teenager who ran into the person's house, stabbed him, and stabbed
I will answer you with another question. Can you justify for me the Nakba? Can you justify for me the murder of tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians? Can you explain to me this? Because this is when it started. So if you want to play the game of, no, if you want to play chicken and egg, I'm going to have to ask you to answer me the question of the Nakba, because Zionism started the violence. And ever since, Palestinians have tried and struggled to resist occupation and to reclaim their freedom and their territory.
Maxine, how can a regime which calls its military the most humane in the world continually inflict so much death and injury to even young people and children? I mean, we have a head here, of course, who but fortunately is alive. But we've had, if we look at the Great March, we have seen young people, we've seen infants, we've seen journalists, we've seen healthcare workers, we've seen so many different type of people being killed from this so-called, very fair military that it calls itself.
Every responsibility of the parents to keep their young children out of such demonstrations that they know are being cloistered upon them by a terrorist organization called Hamas, a group that wishes to do nothing but ferment and foment anger and terror.
So what you're telling me, Maxine? What you're telling me is that those kids don't have the right to protest their oppression, and if they go out and protest, they deserve to die. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm saying not at all that. What I am saying is, why are the parents putting their children in harm's way? Why are the parents allowing their children to have such a level of hate? And why are the parents having such disregard for their own children?
Catherine, you take this. It's absolutely amazing. Go ahead, Catherine.
I don't know what to tell you because, this is, there is a say that, someone once upon a time said that it was very difficult sometimes to debate intelligent people, try, ignorant people. In this case, it's irrationalism. I mean, it has become an art form at this stage, because you cannot argue the death of someone and say, well, it's rational because they were there. You cannot argue, you know, oppression and say that resistance is illegal because the oppressor is right or righter. So I don't know what you said at this stage. All I have to say is that we have to remember that, you know, regardless of one's position or even understanding of Israel and Palestine, we have to understand that people have equal rights. People have the right to live freely in their land and have the right to their sovereignty. This is the very basic, you know, of our humanity under, you know, what we call democracy. And this has been denied to the Palestinians. This is not a question. This is not rhetorical. It's a fact. Israel has committed, you know, time and time again crimes against humanity. Israel is systematically arresting journalists in Palestine because it wants to shut out Palestinian voices and prevent Palestinian journalists to actually voice, you know, and describe what it is that is happening in Palestine under occupation. Systematically, Israel has come at children and handicapped people and other minorities and people who are perceived as being more vulnerable, because what it's trying to do is instill fear, you know, in families and try to crush, you know, the next generation of resistance. And as you recalled, Ehad Tamimi's mother actually said she encouraged people to not be scared, you know, of their children, meaning that she understands that those children, because they are who they are and they live in the condition that they live in because of a violent and oppressive state, the state of Israel, then they have, you know, the only recourse that they have is actually resist, mm-hmm. to be able to exist. Their whole identity now is being weaved around resistance. Why? Because Israel made it so, because there is no other breathing space for them to actually express their identity.
Okay,
because
what about
it has
that,
been
Maxine?
Denied.
What about
so
that,
do
Maxine?
Stand.
Do you understand
you
the level of frustration when a mother comes out and basically says, we have nothing else, we have no other choice but to resist and not to be afraid and not to basically to support their kids and let them go out and resist because basically there is nothing left. Do you understand that at all?
I disagree. I disagree because would the leadership have accepted peace settlements that were on the table, that were in front of Bill Clinton 20 years ago? The Palestinians would be a state. There would be a very different condition in the Middle East. And we all know that the economics would be bursting on both sides of the border. The fact that they're bursting in wonder in Israel isn't because of a specialness on one side of the border or the other. It's because people are concentrating on education. They're concentrating on developing and not destroying. They're putting their concrete into houses and buildings and not tunnels for terror. This is a different—
And U.S. tax money too helped.
I didn't hear your comment.
I'm talking about U.S. tax money because you're talking about, you know, Israel's booming economy. I recall that Israel is currently living in a recession and that the only thing keeping it alive is actually America's taxpayers' money. But, you know, I might be wrong, of course.
In the schools in the Palestinian areas, that children are being taught guns and terror from age 3 or 4, from kindergarten. They are being given facsimile guns, and they are being taught to shoot and kill Israelis. And not only Israelis, to shoot and kill Jews. They're not differentiating.
And it's interesting. It's interesting because if we look at the statistics, Maxine, then if we, according to what you're saying, then we sure should have a lot of Israelis being killed, but we seem to have a lot more Palestinians being killed all the time. So, Catherine, now this year the situation seems to be somewhat different since the U.S. embassy has opened its embassy in Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and since then the Palestinians have been demonstrating in Gaza and other places because they feel that they have no choice. Now, one of the first things I had said was that Al-Quds will always be the eternal capital of Palestine. Do you think that the Palestinian movement in general, the independence movement, has gained more momentum, or how do you evaluate it at this point in time?
Well, I think that whatever divide existed before, prior to, you know, President Trump deciding that Jerusalem was now the capital of Israel, you know, we're kind of hampering the ability of the resistance to really take off and actually manifest in a global and united way. And I think that now, because there is nothing left there to fight over, because everything has been taken away, I think they all understand in Palestine that the only way forward is together. And that whatever, again, whatever difficulty they may have had or disagreements is gone now, because they understand that there are actually greater things at stake. And in a way has unified them in you know, the degree of oppression that they're facing. So I'm not saying it's a good thing, because it's actually quite revolting to see that a people has been pushed so far down the line that there is nothing left for them but to actually walk forward, because otherwise it's ultimate death. It is heartbreaking to see the despair of Palestinians when mothers, as you said, are actually you know, making peace with the fact that they might lose their children, and that it's actually maybe the only way forward for them to even have a future or contemplate a future. But you know, as you mentioned, I think that there is great power, you know, in the symbolism that sits behind Al-Quds, and it's uniting Palestinians across religion, across political affiliation, and it's something quite powerful. Because you know, we're talking about Judaism, as Maxine was referring to sectarianism. Essentially, we're forgetting here time and time again, Palestinians are not just Muslim; they're Christians. They are many things. Palestinians is multiculturalism. Palestine, he is many color, and Palestine is standing united against the oppression of Zionism. And I'm afraid to say, but Zionism is only one color.
But let's start with the fact that Donald Trump did not make Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Jerusalem has been the capital of Israel for 3,500 years. That's an historic fact, an historical fact. Trump simply put
for 35 years, it's a historical fact.
Of the United States Embassy in Jerusalem, and acknowledge that it is the diplomatic and structural capital of Jerusalem, where embassies of the United States should be. That has nothing to do with, quote, making Jerusalem the capital. Jerusalem is the capital, has been the capital, and will be the capital of the state of Israel. Its 3,500 year history, perhaps a bit more, certainly stands strongly to that. That the Palestinians have no hope, that's not true at all. There is absolute room to develop Palestinian society that is focused on the positive and not focused on terror or hate. And that is a leadership problem of the Palestinians.
Okay.
If the Palestinian leadership causes its people to look at education and not at terror, to not cause a 17-year-old...
All right, Maxine, sorry to interrupt you, but we're just about out of time. Catherine, I give you just to make the last statement, and also the significance of this whole new generation. We're talking about a 17-year-old girl now actually being out front. The importance of the youth and continuing this resistance.
I think she's an inspiration, you know, quite frankly, to not just, you know, Palestinians, but people around the world, that resistance is, in fact, working and actually empowering. You know, this is the thing. They're trying to take hope away from Palestine, but Palestinians are making their own hope. And she's a testimony to that. I mean, you know, my hat to this young lady. She's an inspiration to everybody, because she resisted oppression and she won against the oppressor.
All right, and on that note, have to end this program. Appreciate both of you being with us. Maxine Dover, journalist and political analyst out of New York. Catherine Shacklin, political analyst and communication director of Journalist Support Committee out of London. As always, viewers, appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. See you next time.